morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. It's nice to see everyone there. Gee, I think somebody has a birthday today. Yeah. Happy birthday, Jamie.
Happy birthday, Jamie.
Nice you're able to join us this morning.
Oh, yes.
19
years young.
19, yep. Couple of announcements that we have this morning. There are still some puzzles downstairs, thanks to Ken. There's still a large pile of them there.
There's also some pots and pans, brand new set, downstairs, stainless steel.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, we have the annual meeting coming up on the 24th. Just a reminder, we'd like to see a nice turnout for that, so put that on your calendars. I'm sure if you haven't got your report in, Ruth has called you or texted you or let you know that you need to do that. A couple of other things. The men's ministry is going to continue on Thursday nights with the second part of the movie Paul. It turned out very well, except for Glenn. The Women's Book Club and the Women's Discipleship. They will be January 13th and the 16th. One of them is Zoom. Tuesday night will only be on Zoom. So, Glenn, would you like to tell us what happened to you so you don't have to explain it to each person as they see you? Yeah. So, continue the prayers. Anyone have anything they would like to share or open up with this morning? No? Well, then let's... Now going to our introit.
Open the eyes of my mind, Lord. Open the eyes.
Praise be to the name of God forever and ever.
Wisdom and power are his.
God changes times and seasons.
Sets up kings and disposes them.
God gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning.
Reveals deep and hidden things.
God knows what lies in darkness.
Light dwells with him.
Our eyes and Abba Father, we love you. We pray you would meet with us face to face. Show us your face now, Lord Jesus. Let's look into your eyes. See you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Eye upon us. We come to you in worship. Oh, how we do need you. Our Our world needs you. And Lord, we just want to come as close as we can to you today. A place of change and freedom and wholeness. Oh God, you are here. Sovereign God, the creator of all things. Only light. There is no darkness.
Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. As the scriptures are read this morning, just close your eyes and have that picture of Jesus.
Well, thank you for the song. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22, on page 887 in your Pew Bible. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is the resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, By what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, What will we do with them? For it is obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. But to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. After threatening them again, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all of them praised God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing had been performed was more than 40 years old. The next reading is 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 on page 989. Now, by this we may be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not obey his commandments, is a liar, and in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk just as he walked. This is the word of the Lord.
As I pray, lift up in your hearts and minds the names, the situations, the circumstances to the Lord. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, there is a lot of loss, and it's touched close to the church family and extended family. We pray for the loved ones of Grace Dayton. She passed away this last week. It's been a long time coming, but we just we thank you for the memory of Grace. But be with Brian and Bill and Sandy and their families, with Edmund and Alice during this time. And we pray for the Jones family, the difficult time over Steve's condition. Just be with each and every one in Jesus' name. And oh Lord, for Pat Kepperudis and Becky Morton and Robbie and Emily and the extended family, Lord, we pray for them and the sudden death of Ziggy, Pat's husband, this last week. Oh, Lord, be with all who grieve. Be with each and every one. Comfort them. Draw them close to you. May they find hope in the witness of the resurrection. And we pray for Liz Montambo. Surgery, a procedure a week from Tuesday. Just encourage her and prepare her. We know you'll be with the doctors. And we do thank you, Lord, for your protection over Glenn Corlett. As he shared earlier, just the story, that car accident Thursday night. Thank you for surrounding him with your angels, Lord, and protecting him. We pray for families. We pray for children. For schools and administrators, convalescent homes, nurses and doctors in the hospitals, and those who work with social services, and all those who receive there's not a lot to receive anymore, Lord, for all that are in need, the hungry, the homeless. May we extend our hands generously to help each and every one in need that we can. Pray for the prisoners we know. The only women's prison is York, and they've had floods, and they've got mold and overcrowding in cells and COVID. Be with Jennifer Labby in the midst of all that right now. Lord, she's supposed to be out. She was supposed to be out a while ago. We pray that she would be released in Jesus' name. We pray for Jake Butler down in New Haven. Date coming up. Just keep surrounding him, protecting him, draw him unto you. Pray your watching and guidance over him. And be with Gary and Liz and the whole family, Lord, during this time. Jay and Kathy en route to Guatemala this morning. Kids alive and their mission and ministry, and just bless them and utilize them for your glory, Lord. And just bless those little girls. Bless them indeed and their families, Lord. Protection all around. Oh, Lord, we do pray for our own country. Pray for peace in this tumultuous time. continue to see rioting and evil and death and divisions, polarity. But we know, God, you have a plan for our country, and there's no one like you. So we rest in you, your promise, your power, your provision. Raise up the leaders that you want, Lord. Establish them for you for this time. We pray for your church, Lord Jesus, the mission, the ministry. We humble ourselves before you. You are awakening us to what you really want us to be about, Lord. There is an incredible awakening happening in your church, and we don't want to miss out. We want to be part of that. Help us to grow in our relationship with you, Father, and Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit. Teach us about prayer and fasting. Only looking to you, that we might stand expectant and joy-filled. For you are sovereign. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it's kids' time.
No, we're standing, basically. So are they. So, in our readings today, and what you've heard so far, Jesus is our only way to salvation, and we are the ones to be spreading that to everyone. And we're going to be singing a song that says that. So, I lost it. Oh, no, there it is. Good deal. Okay, so we have glow sticks. Okay. Anybody want a glow stick? I'm not going to toss anything up here if you want a glow stick. So we are going to sing a glow stick. There you go, honey.
Thank you.
Here, you know what? You love purple.
Thank you.
What color would you like? You may have pink. Good. That means I get the purple one.
Chopped another one.
Cute, honey. Okay. Anyway, we are going to sing two verses. The first one is This Little Light of Mine, and then Let It Shine Till Jesus Comes. Now, the trick on these things is getting them to work. Good luck with that. Oh, see that? All right. So, can you do it? Yeah, I knew I had smart kids.
Hold this.
They're not frozen. Honest. There you go.
There it is.
Boy. Okay. Hold up your light. You guys, the finger does good. Okay. Okay. Go, honey.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Good job. I do the sign for infinity when I do that, just so you know. All right, so. Okay, praying. Dear Lord, we just thank you that you do love us, but what's more, you want us to spread your word to others. So we just ask you for the boldness to do that and that you walk with us every day. And all God's children said,
amen.
Good job.
Jeannie, I just want to say I had nothing to do with the happy birthday. Good morning, everyone. All right, so it's 2021. We made it through 2020, and what a crazy year that it was. full of surprises, lots of unknowns, and pretty much living day by day. But what about all the amazing miracles and goodness of God? God did some amazing things right within all of us. When I look back at 2020, I see God did a whole bunch of impossible things. Things my mind said, no way, could never happen, and then, bam, just like Emerald says, he did it. Things that would make you say, only God. Well, those are powerful times in our lives. They encourage us, they grow our faith, and they even give us a little bit more courage so that we can step out a little bit farther. But what about when we're not so pumped up? What about those moments when we think, are we doing enough? Are we really making a difference? What about us lets the world know that we follow Jesus? What does the world see when it looks at us? How do we even know our lights are shining? Well, keeping our light shining is going to cost us something. We have to be willing to walk through the transformation process, which, by the way, is a lifelong process, so just be prepared. Stepping in the light, well, that can hurt. We are forced to let God expose the hidden things. But when God lights it all up, we become a little bit more like Jesus, step by step, layer by layer. We don't have to fear the light. It's not only for our good, but it's for the good of others. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time, Lord, that we can gather together, that we can worship you, and we can come and hear your word for us. So, Lord, take my voice away and put your voice there. Let my words be your words, and whatever are not, let it fall to the ground and bear no seed. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to share a story about one of my closest friends with you. She's like a sister to me, someone who's walked through the fire with me and has also enjoyed some of the happiest times of my life. She grew up in a church since her birth. Her church was a very close-knit family. The elders of the church were like uncles to her, and she grew up with all of their children. Well, when she was in her mid-20s, something started to change for her. She felt as though the teachings of the church weren't completely rooted in love. She felt that some of the teachings weren't teaching the whole truth about Jesus. She was very conflicted. We talked about this for months. We wrestled with some deep theology and doctrines and things we didn't even know what we were wrestling with. And the more we searched for the truth, it finally became clearer that it was time that she had to confront the elders. We prayed for a week straight. We both cried tears, but for very different reasons. But ultimately, we knew that the truth was going to cost her greatly. That day came, and I prayed so hard for her. I prayed, God, please give her the strength and the comfort she needs. I prayed that his love would carry her through, because she was timid and shy, and this was huge. So she went to the elders, the men who were like uncles to her. She was looking for guidance, understanding, hoping for change. Instead, she was met with attacks and intimidation. They didn't deny what she was sharing, because she went to them with scripture. She used the word of God as her truth and her sword. So they used intimidation and fear. They attacked her character, threatened to excommunicate her. The men who were like uncles to her, who had known her from birth, that had dedicated her to the Lord. They were desperate to retain control. Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit, she didn't back down. And what we both knew would happen, happened. She was kicked out of the church. And the members were instructed to cut off all communication with her immediately. In an instant, she lost most of the people she ever loved, most of the family she ever knew, and the only church she had been a part of. Standing up for the truth will cost you something. Her story, unfortunately, is more common than any of us realize. And this type of behavior is not new. Look at our reading from today. The Jewish leaders used the same tactics on Peter and John. A miracle had just taken place. A man who was crippled for over 40 years was miraculously healed. This opened the door for Peter and John to be able to share the good news of Jesus. And another 2,000 people were saved, on top of the 3,000 from Pentecost. This movement was becoming quite large, and it threatened the Jewish leaders' power. Now, as a religious leader, you would think they would rejoice with the people that a fellow brother was healed. Instead, they were more interested in protecting their power and authority. They didn't attempt to challenge the healing. There was no point to challenge the truth, and there were too many witnesses. And in Jewish law, eyewitness testimony was absolutely vital to a case. But they had a fear. Their fear was the truth, the gospel. And here we see Peter is preaching up a storm. He's giving an actual eyewitness testimony of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And then we see the boldness of the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And he calls out those religious leaders. He tells them, you were responsible for the death of Jesus. He spoke the truth. And it's really hard to attack the actual truth, but it's very easy to attack the one who speaks it. And that's exactly what they did. Does any of this sound familiar? Like in our times now that we're living in? But the leaders underestimated the power of God. They took Peter and John as uneducated men, not experienced leaders. And in comparison to Judaism, their numbers were very small. And see, here's the issue. The Pharisees didn't really know God. They didn't believe that God could just use anyone and then equip just anyone he called, even though that's what their history showed. How God used ordinary men, some who were not educated, some who didn't even believe in themselves, some who ran away, who committed crimes. But God used them all and equipped them when they called. This was their own history. And Peter and John were called. They were called to build the church. And even without a formal education or training, here we are talking about them today, and we're crediting them as starting to build the church. We don't have to have all the qualifications to what God calls us to. I believe that God prefers that we have very little qualifications for what he calls us to, because it's in our lack where the impossible becomes the possible. In our lack, it's when the glory of God shines through us and God's power is clearly seen, even to those around that don't know what God's power looks like. We only see our limitations. We see our excuses, what I can't do. I just don't know how. I'm not strong enough. I'm not bold enough. We see all of that. But God says, no. I look at you and I see your full potential. I see you exactly the way I created you, exactly for the purpose that I called you to. And then when the Holy Spirit comes and adds the power of his anointing, there's no stopping us. Nothing can stop us. So let me finish my story about my friend. After she was excommunicated from the church, she eventually found a new church and got involved. She continued to seek God's truth and try to understand him. She grew closer and closer to God. He healed her and changed her, and she literally was a different person. That once shy, timid woman became a bold presence and witness for God. And let me just say that the words shy and timid don't even do justice to really how she was. Now, over time, some of the people from her former church had seen these changes in her, heard about this, and they couldn't believe the joy she had. How did she become like this? She was free and in love with the Lord. The Lord set her free, and they started to long for that. And even though they hurt her terribly, they reached out to her and she shared the love of Christ with them. She shared the truth with them. And eventually, many of them left their old church and found the true God. Their lives were then transformed, and the truth then set them free. My friend was a shining light in the darkness around them. She brought the light of God wherever she went, and God came in and exposed the lies and deceptions. He came in and lit it all up, and every inch of darkness was revealed. He left nothing uncovered. Now, she had no formal training, no college degree, a young woman in her 20s, a woman who couldn't even stand up and speak in front of people without getting physically ill, a woman who would avoid confrontation at any and all costs. But in her lack, God made the impossible possible. People will be amazed when the Holy Spirit comes with his power and boldness. The Jewish leaders were. They were amazed at what Peter and John were saying and how they were acting. And they recognized that Jesus had a powerful effect on them. They could tell that they were followers of Jesus. But what about them revealed this to them? I mean, anybody can get up and start talking about Jesus. That doesn't mean that they're his followers or they spent time with him. Many people know of Jesus. Actually, many people can historically recite Jesus' life and his accounts. But that doesn't mean that they really know Jesus. Do others know that you follow Jesus? And if so, how do they know that? Can they see the light of Christ growing brighter and brighter in you? How about ourselves? How do we tell if our lights are growing brighter and brighter? I think that John reveals some key signs for us in 1 John that we see within our passage from Acts today. The first thing that we see is how Peter and John demonstrated God's love through the healing of the crippled man. If we jump back to Acts 3, we read that this man was begging at the gate. He needed money. He had no way to provide for himself. He was completely dependent on everyone else. Now, Peter and John could have just came along and said, "I'm sorry, we don't have any money," and walk away. But they didn't do that. They knew Jesus. They remembered how their teacher loved people, how he never turned away anyone in need. They acted as if Jesus was right there with them because Jesus had transformed them. He had transformed them into his image, and they became the reflection of Jesus. John tells us in 1 John 3:18, "Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." It's not enough just to say, "We believe in Jesus, we're saved." We have to show the world, because actions do speak louder than words. People who don't believe in Jesus don't really want to hear what we have to say. They want us to show them what the God we serve is really like. When Jesus was on the earth, he showed people he loved him. His acts for all the people showed his love. The way we treat and care for others will show that we know Jesus, that we follow Jesus. We are to be the reflection of Jesus right now so that others can really see him. And if we truly know and love our Savior and follow him, we should want to be continually transformed in his image. Our desire should be to be like Jesus in words and in deeds. The second thing we see in Acts is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When the anointing came upon Peter, he spoke the truth with boldness. He challenged the religious leaders and called them out for their wrongdoings. These were the same leaders that orchestrated Jesus' death. They still were in power, and they had the power to do the same to Peter and John. But instead of being consumed with fear, they were filled with the boldness of the truth. Their truth was burning within them, and they couldn't back down. They were compelled to speak it. John tells us in 1 John 2:20, "We will have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and we will know all things." John is encouraging us. He's telling us that the Holy Spirit is the one who knows the lies from the truth, He is the Spirit of truth, and he lives inside of us. And he will help us to discern the truth if we rely on him, if we really know him, and if we listen to his voice. He will lead us. He will protect us, and he will reveal the truth to us. Peter and John were determined to shine God's light everywhere they went. They were going to expose lies and deceptions just by walking into a place, and they were going to stand up for the truth even if it cost them their lives. And to top it all off, they were going to preach the gospel to the very ones who had rejected Jesus. They were able to do that because they saw how Jesus was able to stand up to the leaders, how he wasn't afraid of what man could or would do to him. They acted like Jesus because they spent time with him and followed him. Jesus transformed them into his image. And now he was living inside them through the Holy Spirit. Now I can only imagine that this wasn't easy for them. And I'm not just talking about standing up to religious leaders and preaching the gospel, but these were the people who took away their beloved friend and teacher. That loss was still fresh. That wound was still open. And here they were standing face to face with the ones that took him away and caused that pain. But look at what the light of Jesus did to them, what it did to their lives, and how quickly it did it. They were completely transformed, and they were willing to risk it all for the truth. And I believe if those rulers would have come and said, I believe that despite what they had done, I believe that Peter and John would have rejoiced. They would have hugged him. There would have been a grand old party. Because they were transformed. The third thing John shows us in 1 John 13 is when he tells us, do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. It was clear that the Pharisees had no love for Peter and John. It's clear that some in this world have no love for Christians either. The Pharisees were pleased when Jesus died. They didn't want anything to do with the truth or the real truth. They had their hearts closed off, and they focused their eyes on their power and authority. They approved of the beatings and killings of the followers of Jesus. There was no love for those brethren. And this is something we see right now. In other countries, believers suffer at the hands of those who hate their beliefs. Christians around the world suffer greatly for the truth. And although in the United States we don't see persecution to quite that degree, we're entering in a time where it's starting. People hate our faith. They hate to hear the name of Jesus. And if we don't agree with them, then they lash out at us. They mock us. They ridicule us. They boycott things. They make life difficult. Just because of our faith. And in this country, plenty have been threatened. Some have experienced violent attacks. And we've even had death in this country because of people's faith. The truth comes with a great price for many. All the disciples experienced this, but still they were compelled to bring the truth and the light to the lost. That should show you the depth of transformation they went through, the depth of love that Jesus had for them. God can turn the impossible into the possible. That's become a cliche, but it's true. I've seen people healed right before my very eyes. I can stand here and give you an eyewitness testimony of physical healings I've seen. I've seen strongholds broken in an instant. I've seen people totally changed to an unrecognizable person, including my very own dear friend. When the light of Christ shines, anything is possible. One of the cruelest Pharisees became one of the greatest apostles, Paul. He was a man on a mission to terminate the Jesus movement, a man who was willing to kill his fellow brothers and sisters, a man whose heart was filled with darkness and hardened, was completely broken by God. God came in and tore every single wall in his heart apart, and then he filled him back up with love. There's no place that God will not go for you. Look at what he did with Paul. His forgiveness and redemption runs deep. God's light saturated Paul, and it illuminated every dark crevice of his heart. God took the biggest enemy of his people and turned him into one of the greatest champions for Christ for all the people. Where would we be without Paul? He was a man whose heart that was filled with hate for followers of Jesus. His heart was filled with hate for Jesus. But God transformed him, and he became a man who died serving Jesus until his very last breath. He brought the light of Jesus everywhere he went. He preached the gospel. He stood up against religious and government leaders. He didn't back down because that light burned so brightly in him. It had no choice but to come out and go forth. But how? How did the disciples or the evangelists or the teachers or the prophets, even in our current day, how are they able to live like this? They know Jesus. I mean, they really know or knew Jesus, and that cost them something. They sacrificed their time. They sacrificed their wants and their desires. And right now, that's a really hard thing for us to do because our eyes constantly deceive us. Everything is at our fingertips. It's just a press of a button, order pickup today, deliver in 2 hours. Everything is there, right at our fingertips. How do we get to really know Jesus if everything else is grabbing our attention? You waiting for the answer? Well, 2020, God shook everything that could be shaken. And I'm sorry to say, I don't think he's done. But I believe he's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to realize that we don't need all that stuff. We don't need all of those distractions. That we need Jesus. It's time that we count the cost. And that we honestly ask ourselves if we're willing to pay the price. To give all that we have to be like Jesus. It's a scary question, I know. But I believe that God is waiting for our answer. And the time is now. So what do you need to be able to say, Jesus, I believe you can do anything. I believe you can transform me. I believe you can make me like you. What do you need to believe that you really are the true light bearers of Christ? That the impossible can become possible? I'm not really big into New Year's resolutions. Maybe some of you make them, but I've made a couple and never kept them, so I gave up that tradition. But I was thinking that maybe this year, instead of making New Year's resolutions, we can take the time to ask ourselves honestly these questions, because they are life-changing. Maybe this year we can take the time to invite God into our fears and doubts. And we all have them. We all have them. Maybe we can ask him to grow our faith so we can believe. Give us a little courage so we can step out. Maybe we can ask him to really help us to commit to getting to know him and to walk with him so that we can truly be like him. Amen.
I wanna walk with you, Jesus. Feel need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. Cause even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe.
We're going to end our service a little bit different today. But before we end and sing our last song, I wanted to share something that the Holy Spirit put on my heart this week. Before all of the turns of events of this week happened. So on Monday, Nick and I were going back and forth. What song do we pick for the end? What's going on? Because this song doesn't fit what I'm talking about. This song doesn't fit what I'm talking about. And so we came up with two songs, and I was back and forth, and Nick said, let's do this song. And I said, okay. And peace flooded me. So I took my cell phone, and I went into the bathroom, because that's the only place as a mom you can get 3 minutes of quiet. So I played this song and I sang along, and I could feel the Holy Spirit flood over me. And he said to me, "The people need to say this to me." And I immediately knew what words of the song he was talking about. He was talking about, "Oh, to be like you, to give all I have just to know you, and it's all because of you, Jesus." And I said, "Okay." Didn't really know where that was going. And as this week unfolded and events were happening and stuff in our world was coming in turmoil and crazy stuff, I finally started to understand. The Lord shook everything that could be shaken in 2020. But 2021 is starting with a shaking, and it's starting in his church. And this isn't new. We've been saying this all last year, and it's not just this church that's saying this. The church worldwide has been saying God is going to do something big and miraculous in 2021. But in order to do that, he needs his church to commit to him, commit fully to what he's going to do. But the church is made up of individual believers, which means we have to commit first. If we want a revival through the church, we individually have to commit. And I believe today that the Holy Spirit is asking us, are you ready to commit? Can you say yes to me? Can you say yes to be like me? Can I come in and transform you and make you into the image of God and set you free into this world to do my work? Are you ready? And I believe he's here right now in this church. He's been here. If you could have seen what happened before this service, you would know he's been here for a while waiting. And he's asking you today. And he's saying, if you can say those words, I'm coming right this second. Right the instant those words come out of your mouth, he will meet you right there. He will touch you in a way he's never touched you before. And he will start the transformation right at this moment. And he is committed to stand with you and by your side and walk through this process from now until you make it into eternity. But you need to be able to say, I will give it all just to know you, to really know you, to be like you, because it is all because of Jesus. Everything we have, everything we own or think we own, everything we have, every place we have been, the people we are today is only because of Jesus. So I feel like this song is an opportunity for you to say those words and commit to the Holy Spirit today. So Nick and Glenn are going to lead us in this song, and I'm going to let them lead you in the first verse and let the Holy Spirit just start to let you feel his presence. And then join in at the chorus, where is the point where you can say, to be like you, to give all that I have to know you. Where you have that opportunity to tell the Holy Spirit and let him come. And when we're finished singing, Nick and Glenn are going to play for a little bit as the Spirit directs. And we're just going to sit in his presence and see what he's going to do. So come with expectancy. Expect him to show up and do something. And just find rest in that. And then when they end and they're finished playing, that's it. Leave in peace with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray for us right now. And then I'm going to let Nick and Glenn go with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We bow down and worship you at your throne. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to you and we say, come, Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak to us. Be with us. Let us feel your presence in a way we've never felt it. Open our eyes so we can hear you. Open our eyes so we can see you. Open our ears so we can hear you. Wrap yourself around us. Give us the strength and the courage and the boldness to say, Oh, to be like you, to give all I have just to know you, and take our words and our commitment, and do what you will do. Do what only you can do. So come, Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name.
Grace, what have you done? brothers and sisters. Jesus has been working in my heart, my soul. He wants me to deliver this message to you. Flock to your churches without fear. Brothers and sisters, return to the Lord. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Drop to your knees and pray. Ask the Lord to come into your life. Flock to your churches without fear, he keeps telling me. The answers are in the Bible. If we would just tithe 10% of our incomes, that is the law. He requires nothing more than 10% of your effort, of your time, of your money, and peace will roll across the globe. In Jesus' precious name, in the name of God,